In the heart of London, there is a room no one will sleep in. A room where people have died without a mark on them. A room that has driven people insane. A room where something waits. For over two centuries, people have entered this room and never been the same. The ones who survived refused to speak of what they saw. The ones who didn't, they were found in states that defy explanation. Mouths frozen in silent screams. Bodies contorted in ways no person should ever be. This isn't just a haunted house, it's something much worse. No one lives in 50 Berkeley Square anymore. And yet, whatever was inside, it was never removed. It was just sealed away. And what if I told you it's still there? London is full of history, full of stories, some well-documented, others whispered in the dark. But at 50 Berkeley Square, there's a story that refuses to die. For over 200 years, something has lurked inside that house. Something that doesn't behave like a ghost. Something that doesn't just haunt, but hunts. This house has a body count. Victorian-era sailors found dead after spending a single night inside. A young man driven mad after entering a locked room. A noblewoman escaping in terror, refusing to ever speak of what she saw. This is not just another haunted house. The entity inside defies every known rule of the paranormal. It doesn't move like a spirit. It doesn't fade away over time. It has been described as a living presence, a shifting, grotesque thing. And here's where it gets even stranger. Some claim it's a creature, not a ghost. Some believe it's something far older than the house itself. And others say it's not from this world at all. This is the nameless thing of Berkeley Square. And if the legends are true, it's still there. London is one of the most haunted cities in the world. Centuries of war, plague, and blood-soaked history have left it riddled with restless spirits. But even in a city built on ghosts, Berkeley Square stands apart. The house at 50 Berkeley Square was built in the 1700s, in the heart of London's wealthiest district. Elegant, refined, the kind of place where powerful men made powerful deals. But almost from the beginning, something was wrong. The first recorded signs of trouble came in the early 19th century when the house's owner, a recluse named Mr. Myers, locked himself away inside. His life had fallen apart, his engagement collapsed, and instead of moving on, he sealed himself inside the upper rooms of the house, alone. He was rarely seen. The neighbors reported flickering candlelight from his windows. Strange noises. Shadows that moved against the grain of logic. And after Mr. Myers, the house sat empty, unloved, unwanted, until people started going inside. A noblewoman passing through stayed the night and fled before morning, raving about something unnatural in the house. A maid sent to clean one of the rooms, was found screaming and catatonic. Reports began to spread. People said something lived on the top floor. Something that did not like visitors. And then, in 1879, the house claimed its first official victim. Two sailors, looking for shelter, broke into 50 Berkeley Square one night. Only one made it out. He was found the next morning, shaking, unable to speak. His friend? Dead. His body? Twisted in pure terror.
Yes. The classic broke into the wrong house scenario. Except this time, instead of an angry old man with a shotgun, it's a reality-warping horror that doesn't follow the rules of existence.
The reports were consistent. Whatever lived in that house wasn't a ghost in the traditional sense. It wasn't an echo of the past, some lost soul looking for peace. It was something else. It moved in ways that defied human perception. It didn't fade. It didn't weaken. It persisted. And worst of all, it didn't just haunt. It attacked. The stories of Berkeley Square had begun, and they were only going to get stranger. History can be ignored. Legends can be dismissed. But when people start dying, the stories take on a different weight. 50 Berkeley Square wasn't just whispered about. It had witnesses. People who saw something. People who didn't live long enough to explain what. One of the most famous accounts comes from the late 1800s. A young nobleman staying the night in the infamous upstairs room laughed at the rumors, said he wasn't afraid of some Victorian-era ghost story. The next morning, they found him dead. His face locked in a silent scream, his hands twisted as if trying to fight something off. His body collapsed in a corner like he had been trying to escape something. There were no signs of forced entry. No obvious wounds. Nothing except pure, unfiltered terror. This happened again and again and again. And then, in 1879, the case that truly made Berkeley Square infamous. Two sailors from the HMS Penelope, Robert Martin and Edward Blunden, were out drinking in London. They had no money for a hotel, so they broke into 50 Berkeley Square, choosing an abandoned room to sleep in. Only one of them would live to tell the tale. The sailor, Robert Martin, woke up to a sound, a wet, slithering noise. In the darkness, something was moving. The floorboards creaked where no one was standing. The air grew thick, like the room itself was watching. And then the door opened. Martin swore he saw it. A thing, nameless, faceless, something that should not exist. Blunden, his friend, never made it out of the house. The next morning, the authorities found his body at the bottom of the stairs, his neck broken, his eyes wide with terror.
Let me get this straight. This guy gets drunk, breaks into a random house, and meets an eldritch nightmare instead of a hangover. Yeah, no thanks.
For decades, 50 Berkeley Square was known as the most haunted house in London. People refused to go near it. The top floor, the room where so many had died, was permanently locked. And yet, the stories never stopped. More sightings, a dark shape, shifting in the windows. More whispers of an entity that doesn't obey the normal rules of ghosts. More theories, because this isn't bound by history. It doesn't just haunt, it hunts. And that makes it something far worse than a ghost. So what exactly are we dealing with? This isn't just your average Victorian ghost story. It doesn't behave like a ghost. It doesn't act like a demon. And whatever it is, it's not bound to history. Ghosts usually follow a pattern. They haunt specific people. They repeat traumatic events. They have a story, a reason. The nameless thing of Berkeley Square? It just kills people. Which means we're looking at something else. And the theories? Oh, they get wild. One of the first and most logical explanations, a cryptid. Some researchers believe this wasn't a spirit at all, but a biological creature lurking in the house. The slithering sound sailors reported could point to an unknown species. The twisted bodies and people dying of terror? Classic predatory behavior, not a haunting. But here's the issue. No one has ever seen the thing clearly. No physical remains have ever been found. And yet, it keeps showing up. If it was an animal, wouldn't it have died out by now? Which leads to another possibility, an interdimensional entity. Some theorists believe the nameless thing doesn't live in our world, at least not permanently. Instead of a haunting, it might be crossing over. The house itself could be some kind of thin spot between dimensions.
Right. Because nothing screams great real estate value like a house that occasionally lets a hell monster through the walls.
Think about it. Why does it never leave the house? Why does it only appear in that one specific room? Why does it kill without reason, without history, without warning? It's like it just appears, like something shifting into our reality for just a moment. And if that's true, then 50 Berkeley Square isn't just haunted, it's a doorway. But there's one more theory, and it's the one that no one wants to consider. A thought form. What if this entity isn't natural at all? What if it was created by the very stories people tell about it? Could belief itself be the thing giving it power? In Tibet, there's an idea called a tulpa, a creature brought to life by human thought. The more fear you give it, the more real it becomes. The more people tell its story, the stronger it gets. And the moment you believe in it, that's when it comes for you. What if the nameless thing started as a myth, but over the years, the fear made it real? What if people died not because of a monster, but because they believed in one? Because if that's true, then the worst mistake we can make is talking about it. Some mysteries are meant to be solved. Some are meant to be left alone. The nameless thing of Berkeley Square? It doesn't fit into any known category. It's not a ghost. It's not an animal. It's not even a demon. At least, not in the way we understand them. So what is it? The truth is, we don't know. And maybe that's the most terrifying part. It didn't leave behind a story, no tragic history. No unresolved revenge. It doesn't have a pattern, no rhyme, no reason, just pure mindless violence. It doesn't seek attention. It doesn't lure victims in. It doesn't play games. It just waits. Because that's what's most unsettling about this thing. It never left. The house at 50 Berkeley Square still stands today. It's no longer a home. It's a bookstore. The haunted room? It's off limits to the public. Some say they still hear movement upstairs at night. But if this thing is real, then we have to ask a final question. Did it ever need the house at all? Or was the house just the first place we noticed it? Because if it can be in one place, what's stopping it from being anywhere? Maybe that's why the legends never stopped. Maybe that's why people still whisper about it. Maybe that's why it never needed a name. Because when something has no name, it can be anywhere, even behind you. That's it for this episode of Divergent Files. But before you go, take a moment, listen, feel. Because if this thing is real, if it's still out there, then maybe it's closer than we think. And if you hear something tonight, if you wake up to the feeling of something in the dark that shouldn't be there, don't say its name. because it never had a one. Thanks for watching. I'm Ralph, that's Wendell, who's still salty about humanity, and this has been Divergent Files. If you laughed, learned something, or just didn't totally hate this, hit like, subscribe, and all the buttons down there that appease the almighty algorithm masters. Because boy, they haven't been nice to channels like ours. Do you want to go deeper? Here's the deal. YouTube doesn't cover anything. No sponsors, no corporate backing. Just us making this happen with your support. If you want more deep dives, wilder topics, and to help keep this channel alive, join our crew for as little as $3 a month. You'll get behind-the-scenes chaos, early access, and extended episodes, stuff too wild for the main channel. Head over to patreon.com/divergentfiles. The world is strange, the stories even crazier, and we're just here trying to make sense of it all. Thanks for showing up, sticking around, and being part of this wild experiment. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and remember, you are truly appreciated.